This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 51 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is March Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome, Michelle. Happy spring. Happy spring.
Hi. I'm laughing because you've made me mad in March. Somehow you convinced me to join your bracket. You're doing a bracket, right? You want to tell everybody how to join it?
Oh, goodness gracious, yes.
Is it going to be too late by the time the show airs for them to join it?
It's going to be Thursday morning when this show airs, but if you still may have time. And so if you go to ESPN.com and on the homepage, if you go down and you click on the tournament challenge and you go to the tournament challenge page, and if you have not registered, you can register. If you have registered, you then look for the name of this this challenge, this group that I have put together. It's Mike S 2013 BR Challenge. And join us. We started doing this last year, and a lot of my Facebook friends were on there, and it's bragging rights, but I am awarding a prize this year, Michelle.
What's the prize?
To the winner.
It's a Disney cruise. No.
If I happen to, I'd give them a pair of Disney Run Balance, New Balance shoes, but I'd have to take out a mortgage for that. So instead, if they happen to be in Orlando when I'm in Orlando and in the same theme park as I'm in, if it happens to be the Magic Kingdom, they'll get a Dole Whip. If they happen to be anywhere else, it'll be a Mickey bar. So it's a big, big prize. And I really, blew the budget, but hey, it only happens once.
So. And they have to fly down there and find you on the time that you're there. Well, I don't know how you wrote me into this, because you know I'm not a big March Madness fan, and my son Liam is obsessed with it. But I have a theory that if I just close my eyes and pick, that I will come out on top. So I'm going for that Dole Whip.
just do what a lot of people do. They'll either pick the mascot or they'll pick the colors.
Oh, that's a good idea. I sound so girly. I'm just going to pick for the uniforms if they're cute. Okay, so anyway, we have a shout out today, and that is to Libby Littrell Siddeck. And she has a blog called seelibbyrun.blogspot.com, and she did a great review of, I think it was The Princess, and she mentioned us a few times and how we helped out on the Mickey Miles podcast. So it was really good. I love it when people share their blogs on the Facebook page. And so, Libby, thank you so much, and we hope you keep listening. And what is today, Mike?
Today is Thursday.
What's the topic today, you goofy
man?
Oh,
the topic today is we are doing questions. And we have several that we are going to address. And as always, we're trying to keep up with all the questions and answer them in a timely manner. And having said that, Michelle, please do the honor of reading the first question.
I would be happy to. So this first question is from Jessica Phillips Fritzel, and she has, I have a question for you experts. My friend and I are going to run the Princess Half Marathon next year, and I had questions about race retreat. My friend has a gluten allergy. Does anyone know what food options would be available for her before or after the race? If she can't partake in anything, we don't want to put the money out, but if there'll be plenty of options, it will be something that we consider. Thank you in advance for any advice. I heart the show. She hearts the show.
She hearts the show. Michelle, I'm thinking about what kind of food is in the race retreat tent, and I believe there's fruit for sure. I think I've seen bananas and I've seen oranges. Mm-hmm. And obviously there are bagels there and peanut butter and cream cheese, which I believe is where the issue would be with gluten. I don't know if I've seen yogurt or maybe orange juice. So I don't know what What would be there other than what I mentioned? My
There are also eggs too, Mike, because I'm vegetarian. I'm not gluten-free, but I'm vegetarian. So I piled up in a lot of eggs. So that's a gluten-free option. And there's meat too, right? Isn't there meat?
There's meat. There are sausages, and there is bacon, and there are potatoes, and I'm trying to think what else was there.
Well, I know at the end there were those frozen fruit bars.
Those
are probably good.
So there are a lot of options there. I think that the issue would be with the bread products probably.
Right. I would suggest maybe two things. Number one, contacting Run Disney because they're so responsive all over the parks, all over the resort to people's food allergies and needs. So I believe that they will probably provide you with something. If not, I would go to Downtown Disney and go to Baby Cakes, which is run by our friend Emily Westhoff, and maybe purchase some pastries ahead of time to bring in with you. But I think, I know that you're paying a lot of money, and Disney actually uses Baby Cake stuff. I've seen them at many of the resorts, but I think you'll be fine just contacting them and maybe just taking a trip down to Baby Cakes if you want some gluten-free stuff to take with you. But there are a lot of other things in Race Retreat other than the food. It's, the warmth and the bathrooms and the changing areas and the characters. So, I'm a big fan, which is no secret.
No secret at all. And it works. It definitely works in January. The next question comes from Heather Van Slyke, and Heather is from Luka, Kansas. And Heather writes, what determines your corral placement for a 5K race at Disney? I am currently training to run the 5K with my sister during Marathon Weekend 2014. She is a faster runner than I am, but we'll try to run together. Also, I realize you cannot give medical advice, but I would like to hear from fellow listeners. I am a diabetic, and I have an insulin pump. It would be great to get some tips and tricks from others like myself that have done Disney races. I listened to Walt Disney World Today and Be Our Guest podcast, and when I found your podcast, it came at just the right time. I am using the reward of running a 5K at Disney to keep me motivated to run and get in shape. Thank you for all of the information you provide each week. As of today, only 301 days until January 8th, when we'll fly to Florida. Thanks. Signed, Heather. Michelle, we've talked about the corral placement for 5Ks, and I don't know if we've come up with the answer for how they do it. It seems like every year there's a different flag that shows up that makes us think they do it differently than the year before.
Yeah, they've done it a few different ways. They've done it by just having the times up that you can on the honor system go to whatever time, if you run between a 10 and a 13 minute mile, go in this area. Now that it's gotten so big though, Mike, I don't think that they can do that. And then it moved to when you signed up for it. So Corral A would be the first people who signed up, Corral B the second group of people. And now it is by the times that you report, at least in for the princess, it was by the times you reported. So the faster times, reporting the faster times are going to be in Corral A and so on and so forth. So Heather, I think if you and your sister just talk about the times that you are going to run the 5K and say a similar time, then you should be okay. The second thing is if by any chance you're in different corrals, the person in the higher corral could always drop back. So you can always run together for a 5K. It's not a big deal at all.
Yeah, the 5Ks are getting larger, so my guess, Michelle, is that they're doing whatever they can to make it an easy job for them being Run Disney, to balance out the corrals. I believe that right now we're looking at five corrals this last year. It's gone to five corrals, and it looks like 5Ks are going to be the norm for the 5Ks are going to be around 10,000 runners, which is a lot of runners.
10,000 or 5,000?
There were 10,000 in January, and there were, remember, we saw a bib that read 8,800 for the princess.
Right. So anyway, so, Heather, yeah. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. Your second question, you're absolutely right. We can't give you medical advice. Neither one of us has diabetes, and, you know, there are different types of diabetes. So I would recommend, of course, I'm sure I don't need to tell you this, that your first trip should be to your doctor to talk about what you need to do. I know that I saw on active.com there is advice about how to train when you have diabetes. So if you go onto active.com and look, there's some articles. And we would also be very happy to post this question on the Mickey Miles podcast Facebook page so that others who have diabetes might be able to give you some advice. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I think that that's the best thing to do. We do have a friend who has an insulin pump, and she did the 5K in January. And
she's done a half, too.
I don't know if she did the half with the pump, but there are obvious steps you have to take to ensure that everything is okay. And again, talking with your doctor and also checking on active.com, like Michelle said. Those are the first two steps. So, good luck.
Thanks, Heather. Good luck. So our next letter is from Terry Mann. And Terry says, "Hey, y'all. I love to call Yankees y'all. We truly enjoyed meeting you both at the Princess Meetup last month. Remember we met him at the Rose Garden, Terry and his wife?
Yes.
And he did an interview for us, too. Thanks for the great podcast. Questions about finagling a better corral assignment at Disney races. For a Disney half marathon or a marathon, what type of race finish time will they accept? Half marathons only? 10Ks? I plan to run a few now to get good times and get better corral placement. And then better corral placement than the terrible one I had at the Princess. And if you run like the Princess half and spend the time with characters and photos, ending the race a lot slower than you're capable of, how much will that hurt your placement in subsequent races? That question didn't occur to me until mile 11 in the Princess, and now I'm hoping I didn't screw myself up. Thanks again." So these are great questions. The first one is Mikey's asking, what sort of races does he need to run to improve his half marathon and marathon placement?
I think that the shortest distance that you can look towards to improve your corral placement would be 10Ks. And I think the reason why Run Disney has pretty much settled on that as being the minimum is that they realize that there are a lot of people who are training for their very first half marathon. And for the most part, a lot of these people may have done nothing longer than a 10K. So the 10K finish time is what they will accept as a minimum time. So what I would do, Terry, is think about working on your speed and think about working on the 10K distance. And the faster you can do a 10K, the better placement you'll have in a corral.
I love his second question because nobody's ever asked us this one before, and I think it's a question that a lot of people will ask. So he's pretty much saying that he took his time during the Princess and had photographs, and he's wondering if that's going to hurt his time for future Disney races. And the answer to that question is no, unless that's your only race. So you self-report your time. And if your time was 3 hours and 10 minutes for the Princess half, that's the only time that you have recorded. But if you do what you're doing, which is to run maybe a half or another 10K, then you can, when you sign up for the next race, you self-report and say, "I had a 10K finish of 1 hour and 10 minutes, and that's what Disney will take." If you want to make sure, print out your race results and take it with you to the expo if you're not sure that they accepted that time, because they'll want to see that. And you can show them at the expo and they'll change your corral. But it's a great question. Mike?
Yeah. Michelle, you and I, we ran a race in September, and 1 year, and we both, I think we both did PRs, and we're both probably, I know that mine was about a 10 minute PR, and I know yours was pretty substantial, and we sent those finished times to Run Disney, and they adjusted our corral placement. But you're absolutely right. If you don't do anything in between the princess and next year, then they will use that as your most recent finish. So,
yeah, I think what we actually did was that race was in September, and both of us were doing the wine and dine. So I know that I printed out my race results and took them to the expo, and I don't remember what corral was in, I was in. Maybe I was in corral D, and they slapped a corral B sticker on because of my race results earlier in that month. So as long as you print it out or you contact them well in advance, they'll adjust your corral. But running that slow Disney race will not impact. You always put down your PR within a given period of time. I think they'll accept it within, you know, the last 3 years, maybe 4 years.
You know, Michelle, I want to make a comment on corral placement right now. From the increase in the number of participants in these races, other than corral A, I'm not sure if it really makes a difference regarding what corral you're in, because I've talked with a lot of people who were in corrals B through whatever, and they said all the corrals were crowded. So Terry, I'm just saying, don't worry about corral placement. Do the best job you can and hope for the best, but
well,
don't be disappointed.
Well, Mike, I guess I have to disagree, because I think, I don't know how fast Terry runs, but people who maybe want to take a little bit more time want to be in as high a corral as they can, because they know that the timing doesn't start till that last person starts. So they want to move up a corral because that might give them a 7-minute boost that they need. So
you're right. It does give them a little bit of a head start if they're going to get in line and take photos. But yep. Okay, let's go on to the next question. And guess what? It's on corral placements. But this one is regarding the wine and dine weekend. And it's from Laura Baker. And she says, "You're going to get tired of my wine and dine questions," with a smiley face. She said, "When I registered for the princess, I put an anticipated finish time of 3 hours, which was ambitious for me. I was placed in corral E, which made me very happy because I had no fear of the sweepers. I actually finished in 3:38. Now we're registering for Wine and Dine, and I again put anticipated finish time of 3 hours. I do hope to get faster over the next few months, so maybe I can be closer to 3. I'm worried that my 3:38 time will make them put me in a farther back corral, and then I will have more concern about the sweepers. Does Run Disney take your past finish times into account when determining corral placement? I was happy to see the thousands of people behind me at the Princess, and I'm a little worried that won't be the case at the Wine and Dine if I start farther back. Thanks for all you do." So I think her question is, if she registers for the Wine and Dine and she puts down 3 hours, will that be treated the same way it was treated for the Princess? Or will Disney look through their archives for her name and say, "Wait a minute, she finished this time, so we'll place her in another corral"? I don't know for sure. I don't know.
I think that's almost exactly the same thing that Terry was asking the question before. I would recommend, Laura, that you try to go out and do a 10K somewhere and have another time that maybe is a little bit faster. I don't know. I think it's kind of a risk if you're wanting to put 3 hours and they have something on the books. On the one hand, I think that they may look it up. On the other hand, I can't imagine them looking up the times for 26,000 people, but I'm not really sure. I if it were me, I would probably try to go out and get do another half marathon someplace locally or do another 10K. What would you do, Mike?
I think I would focus on the 10K, and what I would do is I would say, okay, if I am going to say I can do a half marathon in 3 hours, I would check to see with a pace calculator how much that is per mile. And then I would go out and see, okay, so if I was going to do the same pace for a 10K, how quickly would I have to do the 10K? And then I would train for that, and I would train to do a 10K, and it's March, so it would take probably time for a lot of people to to work on speed. So it would take maybe 3 or 4 months before you were able to maybe improve your speed. So I'd be looking for a 10K sometime in August or September maybe.
I think that's good.
Doesn't
advice.
Matter. Again, Michelle, like you said, you bring you have to bring something that officially says this is what you finished for them to change your corral placement.
Yes, Mike, I agree. It seems like corral placement is on a lot of people's minds. I think that's interesting, and I remember being kind of worried about that too, and I'm still interested in it. But I think when you're new to running Disney, it definitely is a concern.
Sure.
Okay, I got the next one for you. It is from TJ Fry, who wrote to us a while ago. I don't know, Mike, if you ever listened to that NPR show Car Talk, but on that show, do you ever listen to it? Because they have the same accents as you. No.
A lot of people try to emulate my accent.
Yeah.
So.
Well, anyway, it's Tom and Ray and their brothers, and they had this thing called Stump the Chump, where they read questions from listeners, and then they go back and call that person to find out if their advice was right. So this is like our version of that, because TJ writes, "Thanks for answering my question on transportation on this week's show. I confirmed with Run Disney, and you were right. No boat transportation is available from the Wilderness Lodge during the race. Keep up the good work and wish me luck on my marathon this weekend." Obviously not a Disney race. So TJ, good luck on your marathon, and we are happy that we got that one right, and thanks for letting us know.
On the one hand, I'm happy we got it right. On the other hand, I'm sad that we got it right, because that was something that TJ wanted to be able to use that weekend.
So do you think there should be more transportation options that morning?
I think that the boat is an issue that I would not want to address. I think that the buses seem to be always in need of improvement every year. They try to do the best job they can. I don't know if they'll ever have enough buses, Michelle, for all the runners, because we see more and more runners each year. And this year, when I didn't get to run and I got to observe a lot more, I was just astounded as to the number of people who use public transportation to get to the races in the morning. It's just amazing.
And you know what else, Mike, I'm thinking is coming into play is that spectating, well, you know, Disney is advertising spectating there with the cheer squad and everything like that. I think it's becoming more of a family event, where in the past, I know my family's been down there and they've pretty much slept through the races. Now I think it's a whole family thing, where, you know, they get the kids up, mom might be running the race, and dad and the kids go, or, you know, your parents go and watch you. It seems to be more of a whole family type of thing versus just the runner going out there. Do you agree?
Yeah, and I was just, as you were saying that, I was wondering if we might see someday, and I don't know if they would do this, because it just doesn't seem right. Will we see a day where they say, okay, these buses are for runners only, these buses are for cheer people only? And the thing is that we know that when you get into the gathering area, there are friends and family who are there wishing the runners good luck. So you're all getting to the same place, but obviously, it's more important for the runners to get there on time than the cheerleaders. So I don't know if down the road we may see something like that, but it'll be interesting to keep
an eye on. Don't you think this year, like at Marathon Weekend, that the cheer squad area seemed to be a little bit bigger than it has been in the past?
Yes, it's a big deal. They're cordoning off areas for the cheer squad. I got there real early one day, and while you were going down the corrals, and I looked around, and there was a lot of space allocated to it. So they realize, and they have encouraged friends and family to come down and join. Like you said, it's a family affair now. It's not just for runners.
So that may mean that they need to go back to the, you know, the drawing board and look at all the transportation options and maybe open some things up. But I think in general, it's a very good thing. I think it's great that more families are coming to watch, because I think that'll put the seed in the minds of other people, and maybe there'll be more people who are getting out there and getting fit.
I think you're right. But again, most recently, the Princess Weekend, when I left you and you and a whole bunch of our friends were going down to the corral and I was heading towards the Magic Kingdom, I remember telling you it was really, really difficult to get out of that gathering area because of so many people coming late. So I would not be surprised with the instructions next year backing up 30 minutes for people to start getting on buses. So we'll see.
All right. I think we have one more.
Yes, and I am going to read a letter from Marcy West, who hails from Syracuse, New York. And she says, I am a native Texan. Well, wait a minute. Okay. I'm a native Texan and still don't realize or think about a lot of cold weather issues, even though I've been living in upstate New York for almost 7 years now. I usually run at the gym on the treadmill, but today I decided to take my first outdoor winter run. It'll be fun, I thought. I dressed like it was 20 degrees warmer, had a long-sleeved, moisture-wicking running shirt on my new Bondi band on my head, and headed out the door. First of all, the wind got into my eyes right away, and I had tears streaming down my face. I guess to combat that, people should wear sunglasses while running. Then my nose started running immediately after that. Great. But the biggest obstacle was less than 5 minutes into my run. My fingers were freezing. I didn't think about wearing gloves, and my fingers were turning a light shade of pink. Maybe this is something all runners already know, but I needed a memo reminding me to think about my hands and fingers. When people discuss winter outdoor running, it's usually about how to dress warm, but I don't remember anyone addressing these three issues. I turned around 8 minutes into my run and came home. I'm sure I'll give it another shot, running outdoors eventually, but for now, I think I'll stick with the treadmill while it's cold. After all, I'm paying for the membership. Might as well use it. Thanks so much, and I love the podcast, and I hope to see you at Disney sometime during a race. So, one of the things that I remember growing up that people would say to me as I was growing up, you know, if you keep your hands warm, you'll be warm. If you put a hat on, you'll keep the heat in your body, and that's all very true. However, having said that, everybody's different. And the thing is, Marcy, that you probably needed to go out and give it a shot to figure out what works for you. And that's what we always try to say, Michelle. It's not something that you can just say in a blanket statement, do this, do that. We can give advice, but it comes down to the individual.
When I started to get to my longer runs preparing for the marathon, my 17, 20, 23-mile runs, Marcy, I felt like I was preparing to go on an Australian walkabout for 6 months because I had so much gear, nutrition gear and cold weather gear. I definitely had sunglasses. I definitely had gloves. I have two types of gloves that I use. Sometimes I just buy the $1 Target gloves that are, you know, form-fitting. And I have some really nice Nike running gloves, too. And those, you can get those. I've seen them on sale now because we're getting into spring. So, you know, to have a really nice pair. But I also use those hand warmers. Mike knows that I'm addicted to these. I love them. So the hand warmers are about $1 a package. You can get them at Target, Bed Bath & Beyond. I got a whole case of them. And I use those. I usually take about four of them, and I put one in each hand and then one under my hat and sometimes one in my back, too, just to keep me warm while I'm warming up. So the other piece of running gear that we talked about this on another show when we were talking about cold weather running gear is I have one of those Buffs, B-U-F-F, and it's just a band of it's wool or cotton, and you can kind of move it around and do different things. It can be a scarf, it can go over your face, it can be part of a hat. So I absolutely love that. It's become one of my new favorites when I'm running outside. But I think, Mike, you're absolutely right. You have to decide what works for you because I know you're typically dressing for, you know, you're warmer when you run and you dress with a lot less stuff than I do. And I know, you know, we have some other friends who will go out in short sleeves when I would be freezing to death. So it depends on the person.
Yeah, and the other thing, I was reading Marcy's letter again, and she said that she turned around 8 minutes into the run. I wonder how you would have felt, Marcy, if you had given it maybe another 10 or 15 minutes. I know that for me, the first 5 or 10 minutes, even when it's 75 out. It's very, I don't enjoy running the first mile. And sometimes when I'm, depending upon my level of training, I'm not comfortable until I'm on mile 4 or 5. Yeah. So that's the other thing. Your body has to be given enough time to warm up.
That's a great point. I didn't even think about that. Yesterday I ran in the winter when it's super, super cold. I run in an indoor track, and when I'm not running 17 miles. So yesterday I did 7 miles on the indoor track, and it was cold, and it took me, I had some layers on because it's, they don't heat the indoor track very much. And it took me about 2 miles before I peeled off my layer, my top layer, and just had my short sleeves. So I think that's a great point, that I would give it at least 2 miles before you give up. If you have tears streaming down your eyes, you have to go with what your own level of comfort is. But I think that's a great, great advice.
Marcy, so we hope you give it another shot and maybe get a pair of gloves, maybe get a hat. Maybe sunglasses and give it another try.
Tell us what happens, Marcy.
So I believe that's it for now. Michelle, do we have anything, any announcements that we want to make?
Well, we could talk about a few different things. Number one, we are going to have a meet during the Expedition Everest event. And
that's correct.
That's going to be, you're going to put me on the spot here. Let me tell you. It is going to be on Sunday, May 5th at 1 p.m. at the Landscape of Flavors at Disney's Art of Animation Resort. So if you want to see that resort, it's a great place to go and walk around and take a tour if you want an excuse to go over there. And we're going to be having lunch, right? We're going to be having lunch together there.
We're going to be having lunch there and hope to see a number of listeners there. And we're running I'm running low on introductions, so I want to start recording some more introductions and a few interviews. We want to hear from you, especially if you're doing this as your first 5K. So I'm looking forward to that.
I was just going to say, if you're interested in doing that, you can just show up. But if you want to RSVP on the Facebook page, that would be terrific. And I also want to remind people that we have Rich Gehring, who's doing our show notes now for us, and those are available on the Facebook page. And not many people call us, but if you want to call and leave a question or ask a question, or leave or ask a question, or just give us some feedback for the show, call 407-545-2141. And can I add one more thing, Mike?
Yes.
Hop onto iTunes if you want to, and please rate the show. We'd appreciate that.
And I want to add that, again, we have been mentioning, if you'd like to partner with us and would like to become a sponsor of the show, you can email me at mike@mickeymousepodcast.com. I can't tell you exactly what's going on, but there's a lot of exciting things that we're working on in the background. And over the next several weeks and maybe months or whatever, we'll be hopefully bringing some pretty exciting shows to all of you. And we're excited, and I can't wait.
I can't wait either.
I can't wait. So having said that, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, my name is Mike Scopa. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.